ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5. It's entitled Karma Yoga, meaning action in Krishna consciousness. In this chapter, I'm selecting verse number 13, 14, 15. That's good enough. Facebook. These are in connection to dispel our karma bandhan, the bondage due to our activities, whether we are compelled to do, means forced to do, or voluntarily we think we are the doers. The soul has to come out from both sarva karmani manasa
sarva karmani manasa
sanyasyaste sukham vashi
sanyasaste sukham vashi
navadware pure dehi
navadware pure dehi
naiva kurvanna karayan
नैव कुर्वन् कार्यं
न कर्तृत्वं न कर्माणि
न कर्तृत्वं न कर्माणि
लोकस्य सृजति प्रभो
लोकस्य सृजति प्रभो
न कर्मफलसंयोगं
न कर्मफलसंयोगं
स्वभावस्तु प्रवर्तते
स्वभावस्तु प्रवर्तते
न दत्ते कस्यचित्
पापं न दत्ते
न चैव सुकृतं विभो
न चैवं सुकृतं विभो
अज्ञानेन तु आवृतम्
अज्ञानेन
ज्ञानं तेन मुह्यन्ति जन्तव सर्व कर्माणि ऑल एक्टिविटीज मनसा by mind, sanyasya, giving up, aste, remains, sukham, in happiness, vashi, one who is controlled, navadware, in the place where there are 9 gates, pure, in the city, dehi, the embodied soul, na, never, ever, certainly, kurvan, doing anything, na, not, karyan, causing to be done. Na never, kartutvam, proprietorship, na nor karmani, activities, lokasya of the people, srijati, creates, prabhu, the master of the city of the body. Na nor, karma phala, with the results of activity, sanyogam, connections, svabhavaha, the modes of material nature, tu bat pravartate, act. Na never adatte accepts kaschit anyone's papam sin na no cha also eva certainly sukritam pious activities vibhu the supreme lord agyanena by ignorance avritam covered jnanam knowledge tena by that muhyanti are bewildered jantavah the living entity. Translation of all the three at a time. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of 9 gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. The embodied spirits, master of the city of this body, does not create activities, nor does he induce his people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activity. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the embodied soul lives in the city of nine gates. The activities of the body or the figurative city of the body are conducted automatically by its particular modes of nature. The soul, although subjecting himself to the conditions of the body, can be beyond those conditions if he so desires. Owing only to the forgetfulness of his superior nature, he identifies with the material body and therefore suffers. By Krishna consciousness, he can revive his real position and thus come out of his embodiment. Therefore, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, at once one becomes completely aloof from his bodily activities. In such a controlled life, in which his deliberations are chained, he lives happily within the nine gates of the city of the body. The nine gates are mentioned as follows. Navadvare pure dehi hanso lelayate bhai vashi sarvasya lokasya sthavarasya characharasya cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within the body of a living entity as Paramatma, is the controller of all living entities all over the universe. The body consists of nine gates, two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one mouth, the anus and the genitals. The living entity in his condition stage identify himself with the body. But when he identify himself with the Lord within himself, he becomes just as free as the Lord, and even though while in the body, he lives happily. This is in Svetatsarita Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 18th verse. Therefore, a Krishna conscious person is free from both outside and inside activities of this material body. The living entity, as will be explained in the 7th chapter, is one of the energies of the nature of Supreme Lord, but is distinct from the matter, which is another nature called inferior of the Lord. How the superior nature, the living entity, has been in contact with material nature since time immemorial. The temporary body or the material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of activities and their resultant reactions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers the result of his activities of the body by identifying himself in ignorance with the body. It is ignorance acquired from the time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. As soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he is in the city of body, he appears to be the master of it, but actually he is neither its proprietor nor controller of its action and reactions. He is simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves of ocean are tossing him and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness. That alone will save him from all turmoil. The Sanskrit word Vibhu means the Supreme Lord, who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty and renunciation. He is also satisfied in himself, undisturbed by the sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity. But the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain condition of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is by superior in the nature, full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is vibhu or omniscient, but the living entity is anu or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by omnipotent Lord. And so, when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires. But the Lord is never responsible for his actions and reactions of a particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore, the embodied soul identifies himself with the circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary miseries and happiness of the life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entity as Paramatma or the Supreme Soul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul as one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desires as he deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not therefore omnipotent in fulfilling his desire. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care of and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha uhi eva sadhu karma karyati tam yam ebhyo lokebhya unnimishet esha sa eva sadhu karma karyati yam adho nimishate. The Lord engages the living entity in the pious activities so that he may be elevated. The Lord engages him in the impious activities so that he may go to hell. This is in Kaushikari Upanishad. Kaushik Rishi made this Upanishad. It's called Kaushitaki Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 8th verse. Agyo jantur anishoyam atmanah sukha dukkhayoho Ishvara prerito gachet svargam vasi abharam eva. The living entity is completely dependent in the distress and happiness. By the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell, as cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful and cognizant, due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of the service to the Lord and thus entraps by nescience, and under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutra, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, 31st verse also confirms this. Vaishamya nai grahanye na Swapek Shavat Tathahi Dashayati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, although he appears to. Omagyana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militanya Tasme Sri Guru Vedinamaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutave Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tathapadakamaham Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Satrajatam Sadhana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sadhana Lalita Sri Vishakantam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishvanu sute devi pranamami shri vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar srivasadi gaur bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, these three shlokas are totally exposing our ignorance that we are living into. By exposing this ignorance of ours, Krishna is doing the greatest favor to all living entities. This particular three verses are important in the life of devotees who are willing to come out from the ignorance so they can perform their devotional service in a very natural way called spontaneous devotional service. Otherwise our ignorance will hamper, will produce so many obstacles in our life that becomes for us struggle for existence. Then we might think that we need to be fit for survival. So only fit is not good enough, but survival of the fittest, that we have to compete with others. Just like one life subsists on another, one living entity makes his living on the basis of others' disadvantage. Even in the business, the same philosophy is acting. Weakers are victims of the strong, or those who call smart, active, under the disguise of allurement, advertisement. They virtually rob, not only from our pocket, but from our intelligence also. They take away everything. They know the person who is living in this city of nine gates, Navadvare Pure Dev. Everybody has nine gates. Has anybody eight gates? No. Everybody is having nine gates. It's a big city inside. Means the management is there. There is somebody who is controlling. You think because you stay in this city, you are the controller? How much can you control? How much can you control your own body? Somebody else is controlling means somebody else is superior in power to control our body, even though if we don't want to. We are forced to go to sleep. Who makes it? We are forced to go to the toilet. Can anybody say, I will never go to the toilet from tomorrow onwards? You will be forced. The body is only like a city and a tiny living entity who is awakened and occupies this body and thinking that this is his body. He is occupying. But this tiny living entity is initially making a mistake because he is very dependent on everything. Even a body of a infant that comes out from mother's body, he comes in a helpless condition. dependent. Dependency, total dependency. But Krishna being father and mother originally, he has already supplied air, water, earth. Where is the milk? It is also there. The one who has arranged everything, because that soul is part and parcel of him, by this minuteness of independence he rebelled and came out from the clutches or the influence of the Lord that he was supposed to be under, wants to become independent and got entrapped into a dependent body. He forgot that he is a superior energy, but very infinitesimal. But the nature remains the same. So this forgetfulness is causing him to think that he is the doer, which he is not. Prakritire kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankaram vimudhatma kartaram iti manyate. After all, he is forced to act in such a way that the body is composed of inferior energy called material energy, and this body is controlled by the three modes of material nature. So naturally, anything that is material must be influenced by modes of nature. But how come this tiny living entity, even though he is composed of the superior energy of the Lord claims that mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanat. That soul, the jiva, is my part and parcel. Out of the body, everything belongs to the Lord, but these two energies are different. But look at this fool entered into this so-called city of enjoyment, the body. If he is not satisfied with one body, then he wants to satisfy on another body. Even all the six urges, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaro pastha vegam, all the six vegas or the urges that he expresses his desire, he uses somebody else to hear vacho vegam. He can't simply speak to himself. He needs somebody else to hear. The reactionary mind's desire, if he has somebody else, then he can express his desires. Manas and krodha vegam, because somebody is not satisfying his desire, he becomes angry on it. The jiva vegam, eating palatable foods, he can't stop the urge. He's forced. Everybody is hooked simply by tongue. Taramadhye jivayati lobhamaya sudurmati. So, uncontrollable desires. Urges means vega. It's like force. Desires are in the mind, in some back memory, but they pop out with force. So he wants to execute, and he thinks he's the doer. But he doesn't know that modes of material nature compel him to do, because these desires are not his. Because he's confined into the body, he thinks and the body, therefore these desires are take to because his misidentification with the body, he thinks I am the body, and therefore it depends upon another's body, even for the food. Jivo jivasya jivanam, one life subsists on another life. So the stronger is feeding on weaker, like that. So, but the bodily conception continues. So if he is able to control the six urges, etana vegan so vishaheta dhira, dhira means sober person. Sarvam api mam prithvim shishya, the whole world will follow him. The whole world will become follower of anyone who can control the six urges. That's Rupa Goswami said in Bhakti Sanat Sindhu. And Upadeshamrita, the very first sloka is there. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, you know, scrutinizingly examine this 11 slokas in this Upadeshamrita. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is for sannyasis, not for householders. But somehow or another, householders are going to become sannyasi. So how do they practically control this? How they can control? So right after this sloka, he explains, these are the tactics. Utsahat, nischayat, dhairyat, tatta karma, pravartanat, asangatyago, sato vrutte, shadvir bhakti prasidyati. And that is, he must act with the six principles that will foster his devotional service, just to come out from, you know, six urges. What are these? Enthusiasm, determination, patience. Tatta karma pravartanat, execute the prescribed duties. Sangatyago, give up the association that is detrimental to his entanglement. It is helping him simply to entangle. What kind of association is that? You don't need, you want to disentangle. So appropriate association is required. And sato vritti means following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. That is called satovritti. In the disciplic succession, one must come. These six will foster your devotional service. And if one is not careful, then other six are going to be detrimental. Atyahara. Eating more than necessary or accumulating more than necessary. Prayasascha. Prayas means over-endeavoring. There are two kinds of over-endeavoring. Jnana prayas and karma prayas. One wants to learn everything and so he will accumulate so much information, but he does not realize that it's useless because it's not conclusive. Only bhakti is conclusive. Jnana prayas is not conclusive. And karma prayas, he wants to endeavor so much. Oh, I want to become expert this way, that way. You know, nobody can, you know, take away my patterns of rights. Like that. So that is karma prayas. It is advised in Shastra, ati sarvatra varjayet. Excess of everything is dangerous. Excess of everything is dangerous. Bhakti is never excessive. It accumulates and becomes permanent asset. But karma prayas is excessive, it will ruin your devotional service. So better learn how to remain satisfied. Prajalpa, Prajalpa means talking nonsense which is not connected with Krishna. If it is not connected with Krishna, then who would be to be blamed? Ourselves. Because our process is to get free from karma bandhana. And these are the techniques that is shown by the great acharyas. Niyamagraha is another fact. It has two meanings. Just to observe rules and regulations for no benefit or tangible progress in devotional service. And it also means to neglect the rules and regulations altogether. Rules and regulations are required to regulate or channelize our process. But if it does not yield love of Godhead, what is the use? You can't neglect and you can't overdo. Obstinate to the rules and regulations. Obstinacy is detrimental. It will not allow to make progress in devotional service. And again, jana sangasya, those who are materially minded people, they will not help you in progress of devotion. Rather, they can become obstacle. It is said that if you are not part of the solution, at least do not become part of the problem. If you are not part of the solution, why do you become part of the problem? So, those who have no inclination to advance in the evolution of the human form of life, that takes us back home, back to Godhead. This opportunity is telling us that we can stop we can stop entangling more and more in this life, because from time immemorial we have accumulated so much entanglement that we are getting suffocated. Human life is short, but filled with greatest opportunities. So those who have accumulated some meritorious activities and its results, they are given such opportunity to come to realize the truth about himself by purging out the ignorance of bodily conception. So, Krishna is now dispelling that what in ignorance we think who we are, but actually you see, you have nothing to do in the body, simply expressing desires. And you think that you are attached to the body, therefore the body is yours, so you want to get the work done. But how much an external city can produce for yourself? City can give you shelter and nothing else. It can give you shelter that you need. But according to the species of life, the living entity is taking shelter into, whether in a dog's body, hog's body, or a human body. The importance of taking shelter in the human body is that he has to come to understand his nature, his reality, his absolute truth about himself. Otherwise, what is the difference between the human life and the animal life? This is the only distinguishing field that human beings have to deal with. If they can't deal, they are no better than animals. So Krishna is telling, na kartutvam na karmani lokasya srajati prabhu. Prabhu is indicating that you think you are prabhu, the master of the body, master of the city. You think, na kartutvam, he does not create activities. He simply desires. The soul does not create the activities. He simply desires. Nor does he induce people to act. Neither he can, if he cannot act, the soul, if he is totally incapable to act, right? He does not create. Who creates? Who does the activity? Who induces the activity? The soul? No. It's the super soul who is sitting in everyone's body. Who is the master? Because his presence, omniscience, his omnipotent nature is there. The soul is dependent. The soul does not create. The super soul is helping to fulfill the desire of the soul. That's why he is accompanying. Because after all, super soul is the direct expansion of the Supreme Lord who is omnipresent everywhere, in everyone's heart. So there, why he is accompanying? Because he wants to fulfill the desire of his little part and parcel. Right? So similarly, if the soul is not responsible to perform any activity, why should he claim the result of the actions which are induced by the Supreme Lord? His? Can he claim? This is the important lesson that we have to learn. Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Why Krishna is telling them? He is explaining. Na lokasya karmani. Na kartutvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu. The embodied spirit, the master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of actions. These energies, whether the soul, that is called superior energy, and the body, the inferior, whose energies are there? Krishna's. The Supreme Personality of God. And Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he claims all of his energies, therefore he sends representations. Therefore he sends representations. When Prabhupada returned in 1967, later part, back to New York, after he had got the third heart attack, he came to recoup in Vrindavan. So he's returning. So devotees were so enthusiastic, they came to the airport and they were doing kirtan and this and dancing. So the press reporters were very curious that who is returning, let's see. Oh, the Swami is coming. So one reporter went, Swami, how do you like our country? How do you like our country? And Prabhupada said, who says this is your country? Who says this is your country? You have stolen this property. This country was there before you were born. And before your father was born. The country was here, isn't it? Then why do you claim it is my country? We have wrong attitude from the time we separated from Krishna, claiming this is mine, even though we didn't do anything, because we can't do. We are so dependent upon Krishna's arrangement. Even to breathe, we are dependent. And do you think we are free to act the way we like? No. The Supreme Lord, who is sitting in our heart, knows our desire and helps the body to act. And we think we are the doer. Shakatano bharajem swanatane. The dog is walking under the cart, along the cart is going. But he thinks, well, the cart is over my shoulder. I am the one who carries the cart. No. This is very foolish mentality. Thus the jiva is entrapped into its entanglement. And Krishna wants to free us by spelling out, calling a spade a spade. So, na karma phala sayogam, neither he creates the results. Therefore, all the results belong to Krishna. Ishavashyam idam sarvam, yat kinchit jagatyam jagat, tena tyaktena bhanjita. You have been given your prasad, take it. Magrada kasya svidhanam, don't take any more than prasad. So, all this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Modes of material nature works under the direct supervision of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyase sacharacharam hetunanena kaunte jagat viparivartate. Under my supervision, this prakriti, the material nature, works. There is no other cause besides me why the material world revolves. And we think we make the earth go about orbiting. We want to go on moon, we want to go everywhere simply to collect some dust which is of no use to me or you or anybody else. They want to find out how the life has generated from. So, conclusively, because if the soul doesn't have anything to do, why should the Supreme has anything to do? Accumulatedly, all the pious activities, all the impious activities, we try to measure in the terms, well, how come bad thing happens to good people? And why good thing happens to bad people? We call arguing and it will never come to an end. Have you ever thought? Sometimes it applies to us. The thing which we do not like and we have faith in him, and something goes wrong and we come, Krishna, why me? We say, this is all what you have to say? Now see, he is telling, if the soul doesn't have anything to do within the body except desire, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead would be responsible of somebody's pious activities and impious activities? Did you get any report on Christchurch earthquake?
Yes, sir.
Anybody died? Anybody did? Any report? Oh, so it must have happened somewhere in the wilderness. Right? But when it struck in Gujarat, oh my God, oh, how many people died? Hundreds of thousands of people. Why it is happening? And all the philanthropy goes there as if they become God and they are supposed to do. They think we took credit. How many villages you took care? You know, like that. when tsunami happened, you know, many devotees also went. So in Gujarat they also went, did Best of Food for Life program there, made them chant Hare Krishna. Many institutions adopted certain villages. Same thing happened in Latur there were, you know, so many philanthropic activities. Christian rush there to convert many people as possible by giving them free, you know, roti, kapda, makan. And everybody has some ulterior agenda behind this so-called philanthropic activity, just to cheat the Supreme and the people, innocent people. Just to cheat. When tsunami happened, many devotees went to Colombo because it was heart struck. You know? And so many organizations also went towards the south side of Chennai and Konark and Bhuvaneshwar and so many places. But they were greeted with, Prabhus, thank you very much. We are over flooded with all this philanthropic care. We do not need you. Devotees said, thank you. We did our duty. Let's get out. Otherwise there will be more entanglement and so-called relief activities and reports and this and that, you know. So why Krishna has to be involved in this when his agency, Prakriti or Mother Nature, who is working under his supervision, she acts on behalf of Krishna. That's why the material world has been created. Why Krishna has to take personal responsibility of anything? Therefore, he concludes, Nadatte kasyat chit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhu agyanena avrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of ignorance which covers their real knowledge. People of either wrong information or incomplete information, they speak a lot, keep on arguing. But here is conclusive. Devotees chant Hare Krishna. They don't speak. It is better to do like that. Because they do not want to remain in ignorance. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. A devotee who is in rapt attention, rapt consciousness of Lord Krishna all the time, there is no question of ignorance. When ignorance is removed, he is liberated. But a real knowledge about this reality of the soul, who is not the body, when it is removed, he will detach himself and always remain in Krishna consciousness. So the lesson is that whatever we are doing, whatever we are doing, everybody is doing something. Nobody says, I have nothing to do. Those who have nothing to do, they are always invited in asylums, the mental institutes, to prevent them going back, they have to keep on doing something. Somebody is doing karma, another is doing vikarma. Somebody says, oh, I'm doing good karma. Somebody says, I'm doing bad karma. But Krishna has nothing to do with this, because your soul itself has nothing to do. All this performance of activities, whether good or bad, because the knowledge is absent behind this, they will keep on partaking the results of these activities, good or bad, pious or impious, which do not belong to soul. It belongs to the Prakriti. The good result or bad results, they belong to the Prakriti. If they do not belong to the soul, why do we take that Krishna has to interfere in this? We start praying, Krishna, oh please Krishna, save this so many departed souls, please take them right away back to home, back home, Godhead. Why don't you take some responsibility yourself? What is the best responsibility you can perform? Chant Hare Krishna for them. Give them Krishna Prasad. Satisfy the soul rather than their material ignorance. That will be the best solution. Srila Prabhupada had many conversations with one Mr. Ram Jethmalani, his minister now for social welfare. At that time also, he was an advocate and wanted to do lot of philanthropy. So somehow or another, seeing the popularity of ISKCON movement, he came to Prabhupada and then, why don't you guys do anything for the poor? And Prabhupada said, aren't you doing enough? What is the result? Probably you do not know that we are doing the highest welfare activities for, even without distinction from poor and rich, black or white, downtrodden or sophisticated aristocrats. This is non-sectarian. Because soul is non-sectarian. Soul cannot be Hindu or Christian. Because Krishna cannot be Hindu or Christian. It is ignorance that takes them and tries to pull a leg. But devotees, devotees have never said white devotee and black devotee. Sometimes for identification we can say, oh, the devotee from New Zealand. But we cannot say, oh, Angrej devotee, Angreji Kamandir. In Vrindavan, they call ISKCON temple as Angrej Mandir. But that is a wrong terminology. But what can they understand? The idea is that we have to become free from the entanglement. One who becomes free, they can free others. One who is in soup, he can pull somebody in the soup but never help him to come out from the soup. Isn't it? So this is like that, black and white, very clear. So Krishna shows and tries to explain each and every aspect of our life and touches us. He's not simple cowherd boy. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who expands into so many forms, and his energies are so variegated, they act on his behalf, so he has nothing to do. And out of kindness and attraction and love to all of his living entities, he claims personally that you are my part and parcel. But first come out of bodily conception of life, and then appreciate. It is too difficult to go to Krishna with this body entangled with so many karmic activities. We have to become, first of all, free from at least conception that we are not this body. We have to become free, understand why we are not this body. So, anybody can become enlightened if he tries to understand Lord Sri Krishna and this teaching of Bhagavad Gita. People immediately tell, as their entanglement issue comes forth, oh, but I have this duty, I'm a householder, I'm supposed to do this duty. I said, who tells you not to do the duty? But they say, as if we are telling not to do the duty. No, no, no. How would you connect your duty as an offering to Krishna? That is called Krishna consciousness. How can you connect all your duties or all your entangles even in service of Krishna? Forget your modes. Even you can apply those modes in service of Krishna. Yam krodha kama pranaya sahajadi bhiti vatsalya moham guru gaurava sevya bhavaya sanchintyam tantra shintanu mapurete govinda madhi purushantam. That we can apply even krodha kama pranaya sahaj vritti bhiti bhaya, everything in service of Krishna. But somehow or another, by hook or crook, engage our mind with anything that we have, doesn't matter, but engage. That should be the soul's desire, rather than do a separate work and get entangled out of ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada says that we can easily conclude that there is no other activity better than Krishna conscious activity to remain disentangled forever, to become free from the clutches of Maya forever. That is the first and foremost requirement. Then you can talk of love of Krishna, otherwise no. Otherwise we are simply hovering in the mental platform and slipping away deep into the mud of Maya. So, thank you very much. Anybody has any question? Yeah? Oh, well, that is a very secret thing. Kam means desire. Kam also means kamvasana. But that is detrimental. It is of highest rasa. How could you apply without purifying yourself? So we don't talk of that. But other desires? How can you? You desire anything for Krishna and see whether it is favorable to him or not. The proof is given, he asks you. Is he sparing you anything? He says, yat karoshi, whatever you do, offer it to me. Yadashnashi, whatever you eat, you offer it to me. Yajjohoshi, whatever you offer as a homage, offer it to me first. Don't offer anybody ever. Me. Dadasiyat, whatever you give in charity, give it to me, not to anybody directly. Give it to me. And yet tapasyasi kaunteya. Whatever austerities you perform, perform it for me. Offer it to me. Why? Yes, but all this what you are doing is from the borrowed energy of Krishna, therefore you have to offer him. You may think desire is popping out in on its own. No. From time immemorial, birth after birth, we have accumulated these desires. You know? So labdva idam sadurlabham bahu sambhavante. Out of many, many pious activities performed due to the desires, we have come to the stage of human form of life, which is very rare to achieve. So, utilize your all karmas, all the desires for service of the Lord. But the best are regulated in four varnas and four ashrama system. Because your desires can be only applied to Krishna's service, but these desires have been tainted with the three modes of material nature in different degrees. You can also offer that, because three modes have been also generated by Lord Krishna's glance over the material nature. So never mind. And according to those constitutions in the body of a Shudra even, or a Brahman even, they are in various degrees. Therefore, there are various karmas prescribed according to the various degrees of modes. A Brahman is supposed to be in mode of goodness, right? More, at least, more. A Kshatriya should be in mode of patience, more. Vaishya, mixed mode of passion and ignorance. And Shudra, oh, more in ignorance. So, according to that, the different activities generated by these modes, influence, is prescribed. Like in Brahman, what are these? Shamaha, Dhamaha, Tapaha, Shocham, Kshanti, Rajava, Mevacha, Ahinsam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karva, Svabhavajam. A Brahmana's karma by nature of the material mode is shama, you know, control the senses, dhamma, control the mind, tapa, become austere. Do you think Kshatriya is going to become austere? No. So all these desires are there, and you can employ these desires in service of Krishna according to your varna ashram classification. It is not classified by birth. Chatur varnam maya srushtam guna karma svabhavaja. Classified by the activities induced by the modes. Guna karma. So therefore prescribed duties are there. What is the prescribed duty of a Brahmana? What is the prescribed duty of a Kshatriya? What is the prescribed duty? Is everything spelled out? But in Kali Yuga, when we are Shudras, mostly we are Shudras. In Kali Yuga, no Brahman is being born by Brahman family. Janmana jayate Shudra. Karmanatva jayate dvija. By the perform, if we change our activities, we can change our varna. Do you think the judge, in the judge family, all the judges are produced? Never. If your father is a doctor, do you think you have to become father? I mean doctor?
No.
So in this way we have to understand that it is the by nature the modes are acquired modes, and acquired modes act. A dog, however you decorate him as a king and make him sit on the singhasan, but as soon as he sees the shoe, he will run after. Why? Because that's the mode of a dog. A dog will say, I'm a dog. Right? So all the living entities occupying a particular type of body, and in this body they are compelled to act according to the constitution of the body's modes. The modes are dictating him to do. He simply desires and he got it. Many people who live like dog in human life, do you think they are going to get another birth of a human life? So the transformation from one species into another species is very well described. If you indiscriminately eat anything and everything, they say you will become a hog in your next life. Yeah. If somebody wants to hang around naked, better he become Durma Bhajan. Means become a tree. If you want to sleep for many, many hours, take a life of a bear and hibernate for 6 straight months. Like that. But how are you going to offer this kind of lower modes in Krishna's service as a favorable desire? The best process of bhakti looks into this, what is preferred by Krishna. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. What is favoring to Krishna, what he will like. Any other question or comment?
The devotee has the nature of a sutra, and he has so many bad qualities, but still forms devotion of service and devotion. And then doesn't affect life.
To foster devotional service further, Krishna gives Suchinam Shimadam Gehe Yoga Brashta Vijayate. He takes in a better opportunity, but where better opportunities are available in Brahmins and opulent aristocratic families. Other two are rather survival cases. So they might end up working hard, you know. So they may find less opportunities. But these are two mentioned by Krishna, Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe. In the house of Suchi means Brahmanas, and Shrimatam means those who are well-to-do. They have less to worry. But in Kali Yuga they are highly influenced, and they go other way around. Miss another opportunity. And we should pity them. Krishna never forgets a little service that you have performed. And those who have performed some pious activities to Krishna are in, that is, towards the promotion of devotional service, he will never start devotional service otherwise. It means the seed of devotion is always there, but because it was sprouting in his previous life and it didn't have enough time, doesn't matter, the sprouting will continue in better opportunity. Devotional sprout never dries, never dies. Once it is starting growing, it will make sure that it will go to the lotus feet of the Lord. Bhakti Latami. And that should be received. Yehi Brahmande Brahmite Hoye Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Latami. That is the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and his life will be straightforward on the track of reality rather than the fantasy of hallucination of karma. Law of karma is applicable to the body and one who is in the influence of the body and not to the liberated souls, not to the devotees. Karmani nirdahanti kinchuta bhakti bhajam. Otherwise, from Indra, the king of the heaven, down to the earth, a little germ called Indragop. Yastvendra gopa mathavendra mahoshva karma bandhanu rupa phala bhajana matanoti karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govinda mahadi purusham. All the way from Indra to Indragop, everybody is bound up by the law of karma. But kintu bhakti bhajan, those who are devotees, the devotional service, the fire of devotional service burns the seeds of karma. Once the seed is roasted, it loses its germinating power in the same. Germination will not be there. So rest assured, perform the act of devotional service by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And your life will be sublime. You will be able to become free from the cycle of not only birth and death, but you will be able to perform this activity in a very Krishna conscious way. You don't have to give up in life. Don't be afraid. Give up the so-called attachment that is coming out of ignorance. That is the purpose of this sloka. Can we hear? Of course, those who are pious people, they know Brahma Janati iti Brahman. Do you think Brahman is without the knowledge of absolute truth? So Shuchina means those who are practicing the Brahma Jnana. Otherwise they are Brahma Bandhus. Krishna says, don't go to the relatives of Brahmanas. No, Brahmanas means those who are practicing Brahmanas, not so-called Brahmanas by caste or birth. So there are so many misunderstandings thus created in the society, and they they cannot get any clarity. They are rather remaining in confusion and not tend to go or perform devotional service as it is told in Bhagavad Gita. So many misconceptions are there. But by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, it is possible to become free from all doubts.